Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezovic. Intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Kyle Tucker from The Athletic. Kyle, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. What have you made of this tournament so far? Are Kentucky fans surviving okay with their first-round loss to the Peacocks? And just what do you think of the way this tournament has played out so far?
Yeah, I'm not sure Kentucky fans are surviving too well. They're surviving. They're not thriving, I guess I would say. the angry takes are everywhere, and people are ready to turn the program upside down and shake it, which is funny. I mean, you get that last year when they have their worst year in almost a century. This year, until 2.5-3 weeks ago, they look like national championship contenders. In fact, Joe and I think both picked Kentucky to win the whole thing. So, I mean, they had a really good sort of rebound year that just crashed and burned in the tournament. And I think some of that was they were just kind of discombobulated by all the injuries that hit them late in the season, and they just couldn't get it back together. But I do think Kentucky fans have taken, at least some solace in the misery of others, that most of the SEC also got wiped out. Five of the six SEC teams lost to double-digit seeds on the first weekend. Auburn and Tennessee joined them in the second round, so I think they at least feel a little better about their own misery that way. And then, now we've had three of the four number one seeds knocked out. Two of the two seeds and three of the three seeds, I think, are all gone halfway through the Sweet 16. So it's one of those kind of tournaments. I mean, it feels like there's more chaos coming. And then it all just really builds up to Mike Krzyzewski getting to go out with another national championship, which any comfort Kentucky fans have taken in other people losing will be wiped out by Mike Krzyzewski winning another national championship on his way out the door. But I almost feel like after they escaped Texas Tech last night, with Gonzaga going down, Arizona going down, we've already seen Baylor go out, no Kentucky lurking, no Auburn, no Tennessee, all those teams that I thought could make a Final Four, it feels like this thing's lining up for Kay to get another one.
It may be. Yeah, I assume Kentucky fans are going to have some woo pigs going on Saturday, right? I mean, you got to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think everybody that's not a Duke fan, right? I mean, I think when Kentucky's playing, everybody that's not a Kentucky fan is rooting against Kentucky. I think when Duke plays, it's very much the same. I think all of America was Texas going for Texas Tech last night, and I thought they were going to pull it off. I thought that was probably the best chance to get them before the Final Four. I'm not sure that Arkansas can hang, but I probably shouldn't write off Musselman. The Musk bus is rolling along. Who would have thought that they would be the team that the last SEC team standing each of the last 2 years in back-to-back Elite Eight? So maybe. But it's been fun. I mean, we've gotten to see some fun upsets. I think St. Peter's being, for everybody that's not a Kentucky fan, the most fun, seeing a 15 seed in the Sweet 16. I think it's literally a tall order for them to beat a huge Purdue team tonight, but that would be awesome. Like, it would be incredible to see that little tiny school from Jersey City make it to an Elite Eight.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that. You and I were both there in Indy last weekend, mesmerized by Doug Edert's mustache, among other things. But you really dug in this week. Really great piece on Shaheen Holloway and St. Peter's at The Athletic, and just a lot of really interesting information. I know it was hard to get him to talk at all, so kudos on that.
Yep.
and look, he's going to be Seton Hall's coach like 2 seconds after they lose, right? I mean, dumb. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I would be pretty shocked. Yeah.
Do you think they could actually do this? Like, I mean, we watched, like, they were so sound defensively, and then they hit these shots. But a lot of times we see these teams get to here, and it's like, okay, here comes the 25-point Purdue beatdown with a 7'5" dude, and Jaden Ivey, who's a top 10. You know, like, do you actually think they could do this?
Yeah, that's the question. I don't think anybody they played to this point, you know, that you know, on the one hand, I think, well, if they beat Kentucky, you know, and then they backed it up and proved that it wasn't really even that fluky. By the way, they played against a really good ranked Murray State team that's got a couple pros on that Murray State team that had won 21 straight games. I mean, you kind of on one hand say if they could beat Kentucky, who couldn't they beat? But you know, Kentucky didn't have anybody really tall. I mean, their best big man, who's a great big man, Oscar Tshiebwe, a National Player of the Year, he's only 6'9". Like, he wasn't just completely towering over you, and they didn't have anybody else really with any insane size. And they also didn't, partly because Ty Washington was kind of banged up, they didn't have a lottery pick level guy or a guy playing like a lottery pick out there on the perimeter. And Purdue has two giants and a lottery pick, you know, and a guy who plays like a lottery pick. And I just, it's pretty hard for me to imagine them pulling this one off. But I wouldn't, like, it wouldn't be the craziest thing to me now after watching them for two games in the first weekend, after getting to know, you know, how they did this thing and, you know, who their coach is. I mean, Shaheen Holloway is an unbelievable coach. He absolutely outcoached John Calipari. He absolutely outcoached McMahon at Murray State, who's now the LSU coach. He is going to be the Seton Hall coach at his alma mater. Kevin Willard, who just left there to go to Maryland, basically came right out and told me, like, I have always wanted him to be the guy. I thought he would be the guy. You know, I think he's going to be the guy and should be the guy. So, you know, you've got a high level coach. You've got a bunch of gritty dudes. The thing that's really interesting about them and his approach is, like, they play 10 or 11 guys, like real minutes, and just try to wear you down over the course of a game. And I do think the one thing I would put out there is, like, I think Kentucky felt a lot of pressure, and you could tell as that game wore on, as St. Peter's just didn't go away, that they tightened up, and you could see sort of the like, oh crap, like panic on their faces. And there was none of that for St. Peter's, because they got nothing to lose, and they got a coach who's telling them, like, we got these dudes. And Purdue's never been, you know, or well, I guess they haven't been to a Final Four since whatever,
the 30s, Joe Barry Carroll,
a long time ago, and they've never won a national title, right? I think this is like the great hope that they can finally win the national championship. So I do think there will be some, you know, if St. Peter's can do that thing again where they're hanging around and they just kind of keep coming at you, I do think you could see a Purdue team tighten up. And that happens to the overwhelming favorite in these tournaments. I mean, I don't think any of us out here really comprehend what it's like. Everybody knows that the whole world is watching, you know, the NCAA tournament, especially when you get to this round and there's not like four games on at the same time. Like, the whole world is watching you out there play this team you're supposed to beat, and you have these huge expectations, and they're not going away. It's hard not to tighten up and get a little panicky.
Kyle Tucker from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kyle, what do you make of Houston and the run that they've been able to make on now, making it to the Elite Eight out of the American Athletic Conference, stifling Arizona yesterday, another one seed going down?
I mean, Kelvin Sampson is unbelievable is what I make of it. I mean, he's 66 years old. He's the guy who, you know, like, what is his alternate history look like if we didn't live in the dumbest time ever and the dumbest NCAA age of all time, you know, 20 years ago? He's basically blackballed for making too many phone calls to recruits. I mean, how stupid. It's laughable now when we look at what's legal or what some coaches have gotten away with that was illegal and barely paid a price. The fact that Kelvin Sampson's career at Indiana kind of got derailed by just kind of dumb stuff, and now you look at him and, like, realize what a ridiculously good coach he is. I have this sort of nagging thing in the back of my mind, like, what does his alternate history look like if that other stuff doesn't happen? Because he's just a great coach. And they defensively, what they did defensively to Arizona, which was, you know, the top scoring offense in the Pac-12, it's top 10 efficient offense in the country, and they absolutely suffocated Arizona. And you know, I think that was probably Arizona's worst performance offensively of the year. You know, and this is not the same group that went to the Final Four last year. That's really the more amazing thing. He got them to the Final Four last year and then lost a huge chunk of his you know, key guys, brought in new guys, and not even just brought in. He had guys that were kind of waiting in the wings that he had recruited who, you know, crazy to think about these days, but like, you know, developmental prospects who were waited their turn as freshmen and now broke out as sophomores or are there as fifth-year seniors kind of having their moment. And that tells you something about culture, I think, with them, that they, the next group kind of stepped in and here they are again, one win away from back-to-back Final Fours. Houston hadn't been to an Elite Eight at all since 1984, since, you know, the glory days and for them. And now they've been to two in a row. Could be two Final Fours in a row, and that is, I don't think we're giving Kelvin Sampson enough attention nationally for just how ridiculously good he is at coaching basketball.
I agree. He's a great coach, and you're right that all the phone call stuff, you know, it is funny to look back. I will also say that Indiana had other issues, like, you know, guys never going to class. Oklahoma had a 0% graduation rate. I think he's, you know, like at Oklahoma, I mean, like, seriously, 0% grad rate over a pretty extensive period of time. I mean, I think that
is that bad, Joe?
I mean, you know, I think that he's probably also done some reforming, right? I mean, but it is, yeah, it's an amazing story. And I honestly, I'm not sure they're not my favorite. Of course, I also have no Final Fours left. I'm trying to four teams left in my bracket, so don't listen to me. But Kyle, I want to ask you about another SEC team and a coach and a fan base, and just what you think, is the appropriate way to look at Rick Barnes and Tennessee right now, given what he's done in the program over periods of time, given, you know, the context of what the program has been, but also the reality of his March lack of success.
Yeah, like on the one hand, I really hate that like the ultimate judge of a coach is the tournament, because the tournament is not really indicative of the best team most of the time. Like, I would say, like, a majority of the time, it's not indicative of who is the best team all year. Look at the NBA. Like, in the NBA, probably the best team or one of the two best teams wins the NBA championship almost every year, because it is decided in 5 and 7 game series over a long period of time, where like you can have a bad night, or you can have a guy get food poisoning and have to miss a game or turn an ankle, whatever. And over the course of a series, the better team, the better coach, whatever, bears itself out. The NCAA tournament is, you have one bad night, it's over. Like, if Kentucky and St. Peter's played 100 times, how many times would St. Peter's win? 3? I don't know.
Yeah.
1? Like, was that the one time? You know, I just, like, does losing to St. Peter's make Shaheen Holloway a better coach than John Calipari? And, like, Cal can't coach basketball. Okay, well, I guess he just had totally superior talent to everybody in America at UMass, where they had absolutely no tradition, no anything going on when he got there, no facilities, you know, or at Memphis. Like, does it wipe out his career that does this tournament exit? Or does the fact that Calipari has had these, because I'm bringing up Calipari because there's the same debate on a different level with him. Like, for Barnes, it's that you're getting bounced in the first weekend. For Cal, it's you have all these NBA players, you have all these great teams who only get to the Final Four or only get to the Elite Eight and don't win a national title. And, you know, this year's a different story. But for a while now, that's kind of been the knock on Cal, like not winning more titles with the best, you know, the best talent. But the NCAA tournament is just this weird thing. Like, It's a one and done tournament where you have one bad night or your star has one off shooting night and you're going home, and you know, that doesn't mean you weren't the best team all year. And so, like, I hate to dismiss everything that Barnes does in building a team and a culture and you know, winning the SEC regular season, winning the SEC tournament, putting Tennessee in the national conversation and doing that with Texas, you know, year after year. Just because in this one-off tournament, he's not had success. But I think
I think we are to the point on the other side of that. You know, you forgive that a handful of times, but when it's 10, when it's the last 10 tournaments and you haven't gotten out of the first weekend more than once, that's hard. Like, for me, that's like, you, at some point you have to adjust your approach, right? Like, there's got to be something there. 9 out of 10 is a trend. And so, you know, what is it? I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know why he's so good in the regular season and so bad in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think we're all searching for that answer.
That's not a satisfactory answer, I guess, because it's not definitive. It's not like Barnes sucks because he can't win in March. And it's not like, I don't, and it's not, you know, absolving him either. I think it's somewhere in the middle. Like, Rick Barnes is a great coach. I think he's a great coach. You know, it's hilarious because for, like, there's a segment of Kentucky fans like, I wish we had a coach that coached like Rick Barnes, who owns our coach. You know, he's got however many now up on Calipari head-to-head. You know, there are Kentucky fans that have said they wish Rick Barnes was their coach instead of Cal. So
a trade.
You know. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Let's do it. Let's swap. It's a tough deal because I think it, like, it when you don't have success, for better or worse, I guess this is how I would put it, for better or worse, that is how coaches are judged and programs are judged. What do you do in this tournament? And so for Rick Barnes, it does negate a lot of the success he has, you know, in the 90% of the season that he can't get it done at the very end.
Kyle Tucker from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Kyle, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll come back. We'll react to what Kyle had to say there. Welcome your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
All around the world. To the beach, y'all.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Weekend winners coming up at 9:30. Lots to get into this weekend. NCAA tournament. I'm going NBA with one of mine. NHL as well. Lots to go to.
Let's stick with what actually is working out pretty well for me.
Yeah.
NCAA tournament.
Yep, not me.
Well, you've had your fair share of success so far this year. It's still very early in the competition.
You did. Cal State Fullerton got it done for you.
Yeah, come on.
18.5. Lost by 17.
We have a winner in our competition for the tickets to Sunday's Preds game against the Flyers and also the Zamboni ride as well. Congratulations to Bobby Cordero. You have won tickets to Sunday's Predators game and get to ride on the Zamboni between one of the intermissions as well. You'll be contacted by our promotions department. But congratulations, Bobby, going to the Preds game coming up on Sunday and riding the Zamboni.
So what's up with saying his full name instead of like Bobby from Spring Hill?
I'm just telling you what I was told.
Okay. I mean, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Well, there could be multiple Bobbies.
There's a lot of Bobbies that live here.
That's true. And Ricky Bobby.
Well, there's that
Shake
too.
Shake and bake.
There's that too. Michelle, seen that movie?
I have.
All right.
If you ain't first, you last.
There you go.
And I'm very much last in weekend winners.
We'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. What do you think of the tournament so far? Do you think this is setting up for a nice Coach K waving goodbye, another national title waving around? Or do you think Arkansas and the Hogs may have something to say about that this weekend?
I think they can win. I wouldn't pick Arkansas to win, but I think they could win. I mean, look, I think Duke-Gonzaga would have been a really appealing matchup. You know, the 1-2 matchups.
Sure.
Once you get there, you root for upsets in this tournament largely, and certainly if Duke is, you know, the favorite. I think Kyle's right. Like, Duke and Kentucky and Kansas probably more than anything. It's like if you aren't a fan of that team, you are all in for the – opposition usually.
Sure.
Duke Gonzaga would have been really fun, but honestly, I think Duke Arkansas can be fun too. Arkansas, I mean, give them credit. You know, I will say that Chet Holmgren got a couple weak foul calls last night that took him out of a lot of that game.
What's the free throw count?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Don't worry.
Yeah, look at the free. That's all. Yeah, free throw disparity. What was it? Doesn't matter if a team shot like 10 down the stretch because they were ahead. Doesn't matter. Free throw disparity. It's all that matters. Just count it up, and then clearly that's the team that the refs favored. Arkansas had 14 free throws. Gonzaga had 20. So the refs were trying to cheat for Gonzaga.
Couldn't do it,
and it didn't work out. But I will say, like, Chet Holmgren only played 23 minutes because he got these some weak calls. But Arkansas deserves a lot of credit. I mean, their defense was all over the place. 15 turnovers, you know, 37% shooting for the Zags. Like, this is the best shooting team in the country. Number one in effective field goal percentage, way below their norm. And, hey, J.D. Notte took you 29 shots, buddy, but you got your 21. Jalen Williams taking your charges, 15 and 12. I think they got a chance. The thing with Duke is we can joke about all the, you know, it's rigged and Coach K and all this stuff. Look, they could have lost the last two games, Michigan State, Texas Tech. They were in trouble, and then they just made shot after shot after shot. They made their last eight shots last night, and they weren't like – most of them weren't, you know, gimmies, and they were contested jump shots. So – that's as big time as it gets in this tournament. It still comes down to making or missing. You know, Tennessee misses wide open shots, or else they're probably still playing right now. Duke, tough shots against two teams that play D, and they made them. So those kids are really stepping up.
How are you feeling as a Vols fan today watching Villanova take down Michigan last night, 63-55 in a game where, I mean, it was there for Michigan, and they missed some shots, and here they are finding themselves at home in the Sweet 16.
I know BQ, Brendan Quinn, who works with us at The Athletic, was there, and he had a stat that Michigan was 12 for 25 on layups and dunks. And I'm talking like you're at the rim, convert or don't. I mean, there was some level of being contested, but, I mean, 12, that should be like 22 for 25. So imagine if it was. I mean, you know, Michigan wins the game. Hunter Dickinson, who's a heck of a player, who has to be the most trash-talking player in college basketball, who, by the way, have you seen, real quick, Hunter Dickinson, have you guys ever seen, like, the move that he does when he, like, makes a big shot?
Yes.
Because you can't really, the cameras don't really show it, maybe it's by design, but he does the thing with his arm and he slaps it against both legs?
Yes.
Yeah. Michelle's like, wait a minute.
I need to go look back at this?
Yeah, I'm sure you could find it. Anyway, he does that a lot, talks a lot of trash. If that guy makes three, I mean, I think he missed at bunnies. Least five bunnies last night. He still had like 15 points, but like he should have had 25 points. And then I think Michigan wins. And so if you're Tennessee, you're looking at that like, man. I mean, I think Villanova's good. They're good and they're solid, but they are not one of these great Villanova teams in my mind. And I don't think they're going to – I don't think they're advancing. I think Houston's going to take it to them.
So,
and I'm an expert on this tournament, this bracket, as you know.
Congratulations to Houston for being eliminated coming up tomorrow in the competition.
It was a great run, Kelvin.
Coming up next, it's time for Weekend Winners. We will pick the Houston game, so stay tuned for that. We'll have Weekend Winners for you coming up on the other side. Your opportunity to win big this weekend. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. We got lots of picks to make this weekend. The NCAA tournament, the Nashville Predators in action. Got some NBA games that I'm going with as well, but we'll see what the other two decide to do. Joe Rex Road, a quick standings update in the competition today. How are we doing in Weekend Winners?
Give me a minute to warm up my lips here.
It is a little frigid in here.
So we're about to start talking gambling stuff. It's like Vegas. They pump in the cold air to keep you awake or something. Is that what's going on?
Maybe so.
Maybe we'll get some tweets from out in Vegas, Chase and Ricky. Hey, the AC kicked on. Hey, the AC kicked on. both take the same picture of the AC thing in the casino.
Just let them enjoy their vacation.
I know.
Here's the HVAC.
Look at the roulette wheel. Hey, look at the roulette wheel. Okay. Last week, Robbie and I both went 5-1 with our locks. Woo-wee.
Hey, buddy.
I mean, we are rocking right now. We're both 20-10. Robbie, though, 25 points because he's 5-0 in his locks. Like, you've reached a new level You are Robbie the Greek pretty soon here.
Locking it down.
I'm 4-1 on my locks, 24 points. Michelle, you went 3-3. Again, missed your lock. It's all about the locks with you.
Yeah.
Your lock last week was the Vols. And hey, I didn't hate the pick, but 0-5 in your locks. So you're 14-16, 14 points. So the lock, this is where you do the Costanza. Whatever your instinct is, you do the absolute opposite.
Guys, this is the first time I've been under 500.
There's plenty. You can fix that now. You're 14-16.
Right. You're one big week away.
Yeah.
Step good. Up to the table. Here we go.
All right, with that in mind, let's get rolling. Houston and Villanova in the Elite Eight. Houston and Villanova. Houston favored by 2.5 in this game. I'm going to start. Give me Villanova. I'll take Villanova plus the 2.5 in this matchup, which has Rex Road just smiling. The hands are twiddling over here. I like it. Give me Villanova plus the 2.5. I think Villanova wins outright. Joe Rex Road, Houston minus 2.5. I think I know where you're going.
Almost my lock, but not quite. But, yeah, I like Houston a lot. I like Nova. Tennessee, I think Tennessee would have beat Nova last night. Sorry to say it, Vols fans. I think Houston's going to win by about 8 to 10 points.
There you go. Michelle, Houston and Villanova. Houston favored by 2.5.
Yeah, I'm going with Joe on this one. Give me Houston minus the 2.5. I honestly didn't think Villanova looked that good last night, and they almost lost to a Michigan team who missed a lot of shots. So Houston's on a roll right now. I think they're peaking at just the right time. I think they make it to the Elite Eight.
Arkansas and Duke coming up in the Elite Eight as well. Duke favored by 4 in this matchup. Joe Rexrode, who you got between Arkansas and Duke?
Man, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to go Duke. I think Duke covers, and I think I think they win by about 6 to 8 points. I mean, I think it's a good game. But look, they've got this confidence now that they found, I think, especially in the Michigan State game, and then they carried it over last night, where they're just going to Banchero start with him, but Roach too. They're going to make the plays, make the shots when it counts. So I think they end up pulling away from a close game late, make some free throws, cover.
Michelle, Duke favored by 4 against the Hogs. Who are you going with in this matchup?
So this one was a hard one for me. I do think Duke will win outright, but I don't think they're going to shoot like that again. Obviously, that was an amazing shooting performance at the end of the game last night. I don't think they'll be able to carry that on. I think they win by about 1 or 2, maybe an overtime game. I think Arkansas will hang with them. So give me the Arkansas plus 4.
Arkansas plus 4. They're going to take down the Duke Blue Devils. No. They're going to win this game. I'm not going to lock it because I'm not that confident about it, because this could be rigged. But Arkansas plus the 4 in the competition.
Only reason they would lose.
That's right. All right, Nashville Predators taking on the Philadelphia Flyers coming up on Sunday. Preds have struggled as of late. We're going spread in this one. And I haven't even seen it. It's not come out yet, but I know what it's going to be. Preds minus 1.5. Michelle, we begin with you. Preds minus 1.5 against the Flyers coming up on Sunday.
See, the Preds have been struggling hardcore lately. Obviously, we talked about that a lot during the show. See, if it was 1, I think I would take the Preds, but the 1.5 scares me a bit, so give me the Flyers plus 1.5.
Michelle going Flyers plus 1.5. Give me the Preds and make it my lock. Locking down.
Guaranteed.
On the Nashville Predators. I don't love the 1.5, but I said they'd win 5-1 and call your shot Friday. I think they smoke Philadelphia coming up at home on Sunday, so I will lock down on the Nashville Predators. Joe Rexrod, Preds and Flyers. Preds favored by 1.5. It could be flavored, too.
Savor the flavor.
Flavor Flav.
Hey. And he was with
Flavor of Love.
Right, but with which Public Enemy.
I know.
All-time greats.
I know him from Flavor of Love and the big clocks on their necklaces.
I can't blame him for that. That's what most people my age know him from.
I mean, Public Enemy. Come on. Okay, I'm going to go Preds. Preds 4, Flyers 2, empty net goal late. So I think they cover.
All right, we move to the individual portion of the program. Michelle Knezvik, would you like to kick us off? Your first individual selection.
I would love to kick us off. Okay, we've got St. Peter's Peacocks, Purdue. Purdue is favored by 13. I think that is way too big of a spread. I mean, I know that St. Peter's, they're a 15 seed, but we saw it earlier this season. As soon as Purdue got that number 1 overall, they lost to Rutgers the next day. The crown is very heavy. A lot of pressure on Purdue's back right now heading into an Elite Eight. give me St. Peter's on the plus 13. Make it my lock.
Wow.
Peacock lock.
Michelle has become a big St. Peter's Peacocks fan here on the program.
Yes.
Locking down, plus 13 against Purdue. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Same thing, just without the lock. I think that they keep it to about 8 to 10. You know, I think Purdue will
Peacocks
pull
win,
away.
Of course.
I hope so. That would be incredible. But I think that they do cover, just not locking it.
Give me North Carolina plus 2 against UCLA. I think North Carolina wins. I think they're going to take down UCLA. So I'll take North Carolina plus 2 against UCLA. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Well, I just keep copying you guys, but this one's my lock.
Okay.
Give me the Tar Heels as a lock. I just love the way they're playing. UCLA, you know, a little bit banged up too with some key guys. I feel like North Carolina. I think Kyle's right. I think North Carolina, Duke, whatever you think about that out there, we'll all watch.
Be quiet.
I think it's going to happen.
No, I really respect the Tar Heels.
Okay, sorry.
Give me the Miami Heat, minus 7 against the New York Knicks, and make it my lock. I'm locking down on the Heat. They almost killed each other in the huddle the other night, in the team huddle. Jimmy Butler was going to fight the coach. Udonis Haslem was going to fight Jimmy Butler. Eric Spoelstra was going to fight the clipboard, and he did. But the Heat, they respond tonight at home in a big way. They win by 15+. So I'm locking down on the Miami Heat, minus 7 against the Knicks. Michelle Knezevic, your second individual selection.
It just made me think of that video, Robbie, where Eric is like, "Are you saying you want to fight me, Jimmy?" You can just totally read his lips. And
a version of that, yes.
Yeah, a version of that. So that just made me laugh. But I love that one. I'm going back to college basketball. Kansas-Providence. Kansas is favored by 7. Again, I think the spread is too big. I think Providence is one of those like sleepers. People haven't been giving them as much respect. I know that Elijah has a problem with that. Elijah has not been respecting Providence.
You gotta love some Ed Cooley. Come on, man. Ed Cooley rules.
So give me Providence plus the 7. I do think Kansas will win outright, though.
There we go.
I hope you're right. Well, I mean, I hope Providence wins. I hope you're right that at least cover. I don't know. I don't feel great about it.
All right, I'll kick us off on the final round here. Give me the Arizona Coyotes plus 2.5 against the Flames. I don't think they're going to win, but 2.5 in hockey is a pretty big line. Give me Arizona plus 2.5 against the Calgary Flames coming up tonight. Michelle Knezevic, your final individual selection.
Final pick, Iowa State, Miami. Miami's favored by 3.5. Give me Miami minus the 3.5.
Miami minus 3.5.
Not much to say about that one. Just give me Miami.
Against Iowa State. All right. Joe, your final individual selection.
Well, you may as well call me Michelle because I just keep picking the same games as her and picking them the same, too.
You know, there are other games out there rather than the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, no way, man.
No, not in March.
When we have a chance to talk NCAA tournament, I'm going to talk NCAA tournament. And look, I mean, Miami, what a revelation watching them play in this tournament. I haven't wanted to watch them all year. Elijah, you probably watch a bunch of Hurricanes hoops this year because you're that much of a hoops nut, but like I've watched
three
very little
games, like 3 games worth, maybe.
And I'm sitting there like, is this what they are? Like, did the ACC not suck nearly as bad as I thought? I think they're going to win big. I think Miami is tough.
Wow.
So there you go.
The Hurricanes getting it done.
Larinaga, man. I mean, Larinaga, did you see his quote about Barkley, though?
No.
Yes.
Well, they beat Auburn, and he's like, you know, Jim Larinaga, who's the venerable. He's like, yeah, you know, Barkley said if Auburn wins that he's going to take his shirt off, and no one wanted to see that.
Well, he's also Jim Boeheim's twin.
Not saying that about Eric Musselman, though. Don't hear anybody saying that.
Oh, God.
Except maybe Coach K, take your shirt off if you win.
Yep. You know, what is Musselman going to do if they beat Duke? I mean, it's seriously, like it's like only fans only.
Maybe so. This has been Weekend Winners. Catch it every Friday at 9:30 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll take your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit LittleGuysFranchise.com. Look at you.
Elijah coming with a Steely Dan deep cut.
I have one segment to come here and do it to him. And I decided I was going to come in here.
I got to tell you, I've never heard of that song.
That's strong. It's a jam.
It's a banger.
I mean, it sounds great.
There you go.
Timeless.
Hey, and they're coming live, too. I've seen them live. Got to see him get a chance.
They're
a
big year for you. Live.
Katie still makes fun of me for it. She says it was like the Will Ferrell like jazz flute thing from Anchorman. I don't give a crap. It was awesome.
It was one of my favorite live shows I've ever seen. It was a spiritual experience.
They're amazing.
Yeah. Jeff on the text line, getting after Rex Road, says, if what you say about Holmgren getting called for non-fouls is true, then in my opinion, Timmy gets many non-call offensive fouls by bumping defenders out of the way under the basket to score easy shots, and then also throws in there for good measure. Skip Bayless is a punk. This is coming from Jeff on the text line.
Okay.
Shout out Skip Bayless.
What has Skip been saying?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I'm sure that's true. I just there were a couple last night. I was like, ooh, boy, it changes the game, you know? And it's just, I don't know. I go back and forth on the whole six foul thing. I saw a lot of that last night on this, the six foul. I mean, the NBA, you have six fouls, but you also have 48 minutes. You have an extra, you know, it's per minute's the same. There are times when I watch college basketball, I say one way to improve the product would be if you had that six foul, your top players are not auto-benched like 4 minutes into a game.
Or we can just stop reviewing every single play in the last minute of a basketball game, too. That'd be great.
That would also help. I thought at least some of the reviews last night were, like, appropriately quick.
Yeah.
Versus, again, like, the Lady Vols game Monday. I was like, you can't possibly – like, you guys are – what are you doing? Are you talking about what you're doing after the game? Like, you can't possibly still be looking at this review. A lot of things they need to fix.
Let's go back to the text line. Got a texter that says, if Rick Barnes couldn't win in March in the old NCAA before NIL and the portal – he will not be able to win in the new NCAA. Tennessee needs a new coach who better understands the new NCAA. It's coming from a texter on the text line.
Well, I mean, Rick Barnes was right in there for Oscar Tshiebwe out of the portal last year. I mean, it's not like they haven't utilized the portal. I mean, I don't know. I thought Justin Powell was going to be a bigger add than he was. I still think he could be a nice add for this team eventually and get in the rotation. So, but, you know, they're in there. They're doing all the stuff that other people are doing. I don't think it's some game or, you know, the sport has passed him by situation. It's a long-term problem of why can't he get the same performance in March than he does the rest of the year.
Elijah, how should Tennessee fans feel about Rick Barnes and the contract extension that he was given yesterday?
I think they should feel – I mean, like, yeah, it sucks getting bounced in March again, and it seemingly happens to Rick Barnes more than everybody else. But – you're going to be in that position. I'd rather be in that position than being what you dealt with Konzo Martin and lose 12 games in a regular season with a really, really good team, and you make a Sweet 16. Big whoop. Like, I'd rather at least be good enough to be a 2 or 3 seed every year, and then maybe 1 year it actually happens. It can't keep happening forever. Maybe it does, but if I'm a Tennessee fan, like, there's no better option out there than Rick Barnes.
I agree.
Well, apparently, this station said, fire Rick Barnes. Let's go to that press conference that they didn't have because they just put out a little press release. Let's go to that press conference and scream at Danny White for giving him an extension. I mean, the extension is such a – it's just a procedural thing. You know, you add the year to the contract. He does get another $100K. I guess I can see people get mad. Like, why would he get a raise? Well, maybe because they were a top 10 team this year that won the SEC tournament and – again, we're in great position. If we're gonna dock pay based on NCAA tournament results, like in a given year, there's a bunch of money being taken away from coaches out there. Look at all the teams that are sitting there right now watching.
Coy in Clarksville texting in says, "Do we know if the Titans are going to bring back Dane the Eraser or the tight end Eraser Crookshank this year?"
Why did I think that was already? Am I wrong that that's already?
He's free agent.
He is still a free agent.
Yep.
I would imagine that he'll be back here. Because I guess I'd be a little bit surprised if there's big demand for Dane Crookshank.
Hopefully teams didn't pay too much attention to him just shutting down tight ends left and right.
Because that's the thing. Well, and he was good. It worked out really well. He found a niche on that defense and was good at it. Not to mention, you know, he's good on special teams. And he actually was able to be on the field last year. That's the thing. Remember, I mean, I had him – cut,
yeah,
just because he's always hurt. But last year I thought was a big year. I think that they should try to bring him back, and I think they will. And I thought they already did, clearly. So on top of things,
do we think Baker Mayfield, we're getting closer to him being moved at any point, maybe this weekend? Like, it just doesn't seem like there's a market right now. I'm beginning to allow myself to think about, like, could he be somebody's backup quarterback? Like, is he gonna not be a starter somewhere next year?
Who could pay him to be their backup quarterback?
Well, let me ask you this. Like, if they don't find a trade partner soon, if you're Cleveland, do you just release him and take the money that comes with that? Because then you're talking about people that will – there'll be a lot of people interested in Baker Mayfield at that point.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know what Cleveland is asking trade-wise right now. But clearly, whatever it is, either they're asking too much or people just don't care at the moment about Baker Mayfield, one of the two.
I'm just a little surprised. I just – like with Seattle, they must have someone in the draft that they are absolutely committed to and they're going to make it happen, right?
It seems that way.
And so if that's the case, okay, well then I get it. But there's a team that badly, obviously, needs a quarterback, all due respect to Drew Locke. The Panthers, probably the same thing, and they're in a position to do something in the draft. I mean, they're sitting at 6 right now. You don't have to move up a ton to get your guy. So that's what I'm assuming with them too. So then who else is out there who might be willing to trade some valuable assets for Baker Mayfield? Well, we haven't even gotten to Jimmy G.
I know. We had a texter ask yesterday, why did the Texans not want him back in the trade with Cleveland? I mean, when you're looking to extend Davis Mills, that's got to be part of the thinking, right?
Well, yeah, they just don't think that – they just think it's probably a little bit of a stretch that Baker could even start over Davis Mills.
Woo!
Yeah.
Keep going.
I need to go to thesaurus.com to find more syllables for stretch because we just – I know we can do more with this. But that's a good question. I mean, it's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, there are much worse things, I swear, than having Baker Mayfield as your quarterback.
You would think.
Is his little baby routine, not baby hands, he's baby mouth, crying about everything, is that such a non-starter for teams? Is that such a deterrent?
I mean, the bottom line to me kind of comes down to, do you think he can play or do you not, right? I mean – let's take my guy. He's not great off the field to deal with most of the time. I mean, he's very popular in the locker room, but there's distractions that come along with Aaron Rodgers, but he's great on the field. Like, do you think Baker Mayfield can play? If you do, then can't you just kind of deal with the other stuff as it comes along?
Yeah, but the difference is, one, all that stuff for Aaron Rodgers didn't come until later. You know, it's like Tom Brady for a few years was – just, wow, what a story. And then all of a sudden he starts, like, dating supermodels and whatever. Now, yeah. And again, I'm not saying he's not even, like, a distraction guy, but I'm just saying Aaron Rodgers has just been in recent years, after he was clearly great. Baker is kind of has come in with just this sort of some questions about him. And he hasn't been great.
No.
And he was pretty bad last year while hurt, but I still think he's pretty good.
Devin from Dover texting in says, Davis Mills is head and shoulders above Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
No question. I hope this never stops.
I'm looking at, there's another. It's a synonym for elongate. It's slim pickings.
You can figure it out. I feel like you can make this happen.
I think that's a good place to end on the week.
Maybe so. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. You can start your bracket with a bang. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers $150 instant bonus guaranteed. That's right, you'll get $150 in bonus site credit. And all you have to do is place your bet of $5 or more. How you bet the bracket's up to you. You can choose from the money line, totals, prop bets, and so much more. I like Arkansas to take down Duke. You take it any way you want to take it in the Elite Eight. Plus, with cash out, the ball's in your court, so you can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over. Just join FanDuel today with promo code ROB, and you can place your $5 bet to score $150 in bonus site credit guaranteed. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.